When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Love is the law, as we began another week here on the Lori and Julia Show. And they didn't take a snow day. They're here. We'll see about tomorrow.
Is that snow that I see outside of our window?
Oh, yeah, there's snow.
Oh, jeez. Rocco. I know. I'm real glad. I'm real glad I did all my little outside porch projects. I did it all Saturday and then did a little little finger-numbing work yesterday. Mm-hmm. Because it was so nice. It was actually nice Saturday.
Saturday was. I played tennis outside. It was beautiful. But yesterday afternoon was cold.
Cold. Yes. And yes, it's inevitable. Yes. The day when all your baskets, like, Casey wanted to dump out some beautiful begonias that have been just thriving. I said, no, let nature kill them and then let's throw them away. And last night, nature killed them. Killed everything that was really remaining. I've got a few few in my window box that are close enough to the house. But it's like
that.
6 months. 6 months of porch and patio and all that season coming to an end.
But I feel like everyone's gonna try to extend it so they can see people.
Julia, I gave Casey a mission today. Yeah. I said find a way to heat either a three season porch or under our pergola. Come up with something, because I feel like we should have been on this in July.
Well, Rocco was way ahead of us. Rocco has been planning. He's got the heat lamp. He's got the outdoor projectors. He's got the ski equipment. Rocco, what are you planning for the spring that we should know about right now?
Yeah, really. No, the next thing we looked at this weekend, somebody brought up the idea, why don't you get electric blankets? So we looked into that.
Oh.
They have them at Target.
Plug them in outside.
Yeah, plug them in outside. You know, and there's others that you can like charge and bring camping and stuff. But
yeah, my dad has one of those for the motorcycle.
Oh,
vest
really?
That you heat up.
Oh my word! Because we were at an outdoor family thing yesterday, freezing.
Freezing.
Freezing. I had to work. My fingers were already under the hot water because my lovely Reinhardt's back, and I'm like, brr.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
Well,
I'm curious if Casey, I can't wait, because at one point you sent him on this mission, and Rocco, he came home with a fan.
Oh, this was for summer.
That would have misted the entire...
W.A. Frost patio.
Yes.
That's how big it was.
The entire patio. It was that big.
Big, and it blew out mist at you.
And it was a little loud, because it was kind of a...
It was a restaurant size. Now that we had that for like 5 years, but I absolutely hated it.
It was so loud.
So loud. And then that finally broke, and then he got a normal size one that we have now. But he was looking at some kind of a heater thing that you rig up on an outdoor umbrella so that the heat would be coming from above and down.
Nice.
So I totally trust him to find the thing, but I don't know that I trust that this will be available, because I feel like restaurants and other people were thinking about this earlier.
We should have been. Yes.
I mean, I tried to find Mums yesterday. Good luck with that.
Oh, those have been gone forever.
Yeah.
Those have been gone forever. Yeah. You are late on the Mum thing.
I know, but I never like to do the Mums when all the pretty summer flowers are still going.
I know.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, gosh. It's Monday.
After my whining about how I, during the pandemic, how I had never had cleaned a closet or anything. And really, the part I didn't add was that, I'm just lazy because I do have time on the weekends.
You didn't want to.
I finally did. I did two closets. It was a start, Julia.
Okay, so are these flipping closets
closed? I flipped a coat closet.
Okay.
Because I looked at the weather and there was no way to have magical thinking. It was like, get those coats out, right? Find the gloves.
Mm-hmm.
Find everything. And then one, I did a closet where I have all my workout gear and fleeces and warm... I went through that and, you know, did some culling.
I kind of like that.
It felt so good. And then I found stuff. I like had a cute workout outfit at the gym today because I've just been recycling like the same three.
Yeah.
Because it's just been a jumble of leggings and everything else up there.
So you look cute today.
I had a cute new outfit. Just, you know, something different. I mean, people probably that work out with me are sick of the same three outfits.
A jumble of leggings. That reminds me of that Bon Jovi thing we talked about a few weeks ago. Was that an ocean of jock straps?
An ocean of jock straps, yes.
A jumble of leggings.
You're right about that. Now tell me if you think this was too forward of me.
Well, I'm already going to say yes, but okay, what?
So, working out yesterday, you know, Did you wear your mask again during the whole class?
I did.
I wore a paper mask.
All right.
Only because, you know, there's
Casey told you you had to.
Casey told me I had to, basically. Basically, that's it. And but anyway, one of the things that ever since the gym reopened and is like, I kind of thought, okay, you got to make the reservation. But one of the things that I thought that they should put a stop to, because they downsize the class sizes, you make a registration.
Right.
I thought for sure that, like, from day one, from the get-go, that there would be no more wooing in class.
Well, who would woo?
People woot woo.
Like, because they get to do more sit-ups?
Yeah, whatever. You know how, I mean, you don't go to organized classes, but
I don't know.
Biking classes, heavy aerobic classes, you know, there is like, there's like woo, you know, or like we're going to do, you know, this is our eighth and final set of burpees or mountain climbers. And so there is a lot of, you know,
that expression.
Wooing. But I said to my teacher yesterday after the class, I said, I really think that there should be a consensus among the teachers, no wooing, because we are trumpet aerosoling droplets into the air with velocity.
Okay, what was the look? I just want to know.
He burst out laughing because he said he knew trumpets. Trumpet players are like, he had just read, he goes, I know about that thing. Trumpets are like, tubas are the best horn for, not much goes out because it all gets caught in the tube.
Right.
But the trumpet players are really blowing a lot. They did this thing at the Minnesota Orchestra, much is coming out. And I just felt like some of the people in our class were like really exuberantly wooing.
You're hysterical.
And I just said,
You're hysterical.
I'm trying to be a helpful gym goer so no one gets sick at the gym. With our low ceilings.
Yes.
At our gym.
Yes.
Low ceilings. Mm-hmm. So the wooing is really unacceptable, in my opinion. So that's...
I think that's really funny. He did burst out laughing. Because that would be something that I would say.
I know.
You just took a...
And then I also suggested that the doors stay open.
Absolutely.
You know, for airflow.
Yeah. What did he say to that?
And he said, well, I think we keep them closed for the music. I said, it's all about the airflow now in the times of pandemic. We are looking for airflow.
Right. Well, anyway, that's funny.
Too much time on my
hands. No kidding.
All right, listen, when we come back, it's our story we can't get enough of. Well, it's Monday again. Here we are. Last Monday, I wasn't here, and I was out of action for 3 days.
Yes.
And Julia, you were behind on action because yesterday, or Friday, when I mused aloud, would Adele, does anyone care? What has Adele done in the last 5 years? It was without any context because neither you or Rocco were up to the speed on the rumor last week was Adele was putting out a new
album
for Halloween. And you two.
But you knew that?
No, none of us knew that.
She's
making it seem like we were the bad guys here.
Yeah, you are, because you did not pay attention to any gossip then. That was like kind of huge news because Adele hasn't dropped an album in 5 years.
We didn't pay attention to anything.
So Roger Friedman just gave the comparison of what all of her peers had done in 5 years. And I kept going, yeah, why is he just picking on this?
That's what I thought. Why are we picking on Adele?
Adele. Anyway, I looked. It was in the news, Julia, like all the places that you go, but apparently you were not reading last week.
I quit.
Okay, so So anyway, yesterday, Adele, oh my gosh, she on Instagram, she's hosting SNL.
So she's been busy.
She's been busy. She's hosting SNL next week, which SNL, the ratings third week in a row, they've gone down, down, down. And this past week, it was Issa Rae and Justin Bieber, who you would have thought would have brought the young people, but no.
It
didn't.
Did you watch it, Rocco, at all? Did you catch any of it?
I watched skits like the next morning.
Yeah, I don't like Jim Carrey
as Biden. No, it's bad.
It seems
like the writing is just a bit off. I thought Bieber's performance was really good, but he didn't bring any young new eyes or anything. It's the third week in a row the SNL's ratings have gone down. Because the first week, you know, they were back after a long time and the novelty maybe of Jim Carrey. But a lot of people are with us on not liking Jim Carrey's Biden. It doesn't feel. And even Alec Baldwin's Trump is one note.
Yep, you're right. But I also think it kind of they go on too long.
Too long,
with that opening stuff. It's boring. I lose interest and then I'm like, click.
Yeah.
Click.
Yeah. So anyway, so Adele is super excited. She's going to be the musical guest, and Adele.
And she's not the musical guest; just the host.
She is the host. Adele is hosting. The last time she was on SNL was November 20th, 2015, when she launched her 25 album. Her new album, they're speculating, is coming either this Friday the 23rd or next Friday the 30th, and I'm thinking it might be the 30th because Sony has Bruce Springsteen coming out this Friday.
Oh, you've done a deep dive, Lori, into her record labels.
And she's
very impressed with that.
Adele's very excited, but she's not hosted it. She's terrified.
I would be too if I was her. But we know, from her concert, the part that I remember, she kind of has a wicked sense of humor. I mean, she loves to say the F-bomb. I mean,
well, you can't say that on SNL, but
that's her. I bet she'll be funny.
I think she'll be good, but now we know why that was being speculated on, because Adele does have an album that is dropping in the next week or two.
And we just stared at you blindly like,
I mean, it's excellent, because that's right, November. It clears a path, you know, for everything. But and also Ariana Grande, the rumor is she might be just surprise dropping something this Friday, too. Now, she's been the busiest.
Yes.
I mean, that would be like her sixth album in 5 years.
Oh, I think it'd be fun.
Anyway, so she's super excited about it, but nerve-wracked about it. And she's also suing the Sun, London Sun.
Why?
For publishing a story about Chris Brown being at her house.
Oh, which was just a lie?
Yes.
Or was he there?
I don't know.
All right.
She's suing him for saying it, though.
And all right, I have a question for you guys, okay?
Yeah.
All right, so Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis have cut a deal with BMG Entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of what we talked about before, is just do a duet album. Just do a duet. But they're going to be doing, they're going to do their own very first album. Here's what they're calling it, okay? I know, that's what I wanted to know.
Rocco, are you containing your excitement?
I do have some love for Jam and Lewis.
Okay.
But we'll see what Julie has to say.
Okay, they're promising iconic collaborations spanning their influential discography or something.
Discography.
Whatever word. They've worked with Janet Jackson, Michael Jackson, Kanye West,
Prince,
Gwen Stefani, George Michael, Mariah Carey. Mm-hmm. And here's what they said about it. BMG immediately got our vision and understood where we wanted to go with this album. It was a real mutual respect.
All right.
We found the perfect partner to kick off this next era. So they expect this album to come out in 2021, of course.
Yeah.
We don't care. Do you care?
Well, I'm trying to figure out, is it going to be brand new?
Can't tell.
Collaborations? Because it did say what spanning their... Yeah, the forthcoming record will feature iconic collaborations spanning their influential discography.
Yeah,
so does that mean they're going back and finding old tracks?
Yeah, they're going back and they're refixing or remastering.
Each song is remarkable with awe-inspiring performances to create a career-defining masterwork. I don't know.
That is very good public relations spin on that press release, but it is basically telling us they are just dipping back and refining buffing and fluffing music that's
and
already been done.
And maybe combining two different artists together to make them their songs work together, whatever you call that, testing or tasting in the music or whatever it's called.
Sampling.
That word. Mm-hmm. I like testing.
It's similar.
And tasting.
One is in.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday, so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Music and one is at a tapas restaurant.
That's right. You know, they both could work.
Oh, boy.
They both could work.
Casey and I did watch The Trial of the Chicago 7, the Aaron Sorkin movie that was dropped on Netflix on Friday.
Yes.
It dropped. And it to say that it's a dramatization of one of the most unusual trials in the nation's history, I didn't know anything really about this trial. I knew that these people were arrested. Yes. For supposedly starting a riot at the 1968 Democratic convention when Hubert Humphrey was getting nominated. And I did know that, like, history looked back and said that riot cost him the election and got Nixon elected. Okay. And so it's the story behind this crazy trial when the government decided to sue like seven different men for leading demonstrations at this and trying to collect it as one big lawsuit. And Eddie Redmayne plays Tom Hayden, who later goes on to marry Jane Fonda. Yes. And Sacha Baron Cohen plays Abby Hoffman, and Mark Rylance, Guthrie alum, you know, and
yes,
Oscar winner. He plays one of the head attorneys. It was fabulous.
Is it fabulous?
It is absolutely fabulous. And if you're interested at all, it's interesting looking at it through the eyes of right now. Of course, they take liberties like they do in any movies, but John Mitchell, historically, now we'll see if a new guy takes his place, but he has historically been viewed as the most corrupt attorney general in presidential history. And he was Nixon's attorney general, and he's the one who has a vendetta, and he just wants the feds, the Department of Justice, to just get these guys in jail. You know,
interesting.
And so, you know, really overstepping. Right. So it's a very interesting, with everything politically going on. And I know Casey and I didn't really know much about it.
I only heard Aaron Sorkin talk about it on some show, so I had a little bit more about it. But it's worth the watch.
Oh, it's really good.
Oh, good.
Casey was like, oh, I thought this was going to be a series. He like could have kept watching because the acting was so compelling. You know, I'm always amazed, you know, when it's a big ensemble, that John Carroll Lynch or David Lynch, he's a big, goofy looking guy. He's in a lot of American Horror Story. I think he's from Minnesota. Mm-hmm. He's in it. There's just all these different characters. Our ladies from Master of Sex, you know, the blonde,
Lily,
the wife.
Oh, she's so good.
She's in it. It's just, and about
The Chicago 7, it's
called.
Well,
and Sorkin is kind of brilliant because he does weave in footage of actual things that happened. You know, but by the time 1968 came around, 53,000 American young men were getting drafted a month. It was just like, it was crazy. And all the news coming back out of Vietnam was, of course, just like, what the hell are we doing there?
Right.
And so you do kind of learn, you know, some things that you're like, wow. Well, no wonder people were protesting the way they were, but there were all these different ways of protesting, and Sorkin kind of set up.
That sounds good.
Yeah, it was really good. I recommend it.
All right.
You know,
the Chicago 7.
The Chicago 7. And then I did keep myself awake until like midnight on Saturday watching The Haunting of Bly Manor and screaming out loud.
Okay, what do you give it out of 10?
I'm not done with it yet, but right. I give it like a 7 out of 10 so far. Yeah. And screams, it's 10 out of 10. I've screamed every time. Should be a scream. Right.
But not in the club. No woot-wooting.
Not woot-wooting at the gym. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. If anybody has seen Patrick Royce, tell him to call us, would you? Oh, is he on the line? Patrick Royce.
Hello, ladies. How are you?
Well, do you have a voice left? Because I know you have really been making the rounds. I don't know why I was so shocked when I read on Twitter yesterday from you that Sid Hartman had died. I mean, I know he's old.
He's not old. He's 100.
He's 100, right?
That's not old. That's something beyond old. But I mean, we're all the same way.
Yeah, I guess we're so used to having him in our lives. So I know that you've been, you know, you were on with talking with Sushre and you.
In the Star Tribune.
Yeah, and I just thought we got to talk to you about Sid Hartman.
Well, a team of psychoanalysts could really have fun trying to figure out what drove this man. But he was the most driven guy I've ever been around. Even once he became very financially secure, he still needed whatever it was. He needed people to know him, who he was. He needed, and Tim McGuire, who was his boss for a long time at the Star Tribune, I talked to him about it. Sid was this poor kid from, you know, North Minneapolis, and it was an eternal search for acceptance is what he thinks. So anyway, but, you know, he always was a big supporter of the home teams and stuff like that. He was mostly at the top of his game, he was a breaker of news, but he also, his other instinct was to always support the home team. So
Right.
Yeah, I guess I didn't realize that. And I was reading the story that you had in the Star Tribune. I mean, the blank sports page. I mean, it was so lovely. I mean, it was so nice. But I didn't realize a lot about him. I guess I just have known him as this 3-column-a-week sports writer who gets scoop and lectures people sometimes. And I didn't realize all the ways that he was impacting Minnesota sports teams.
Well, yeah, I mean, what the heck you have? What do we got? We got generation is 20 years, and he became prominent in the middle. So 4 generations of Minnesota people have grown up with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people my age, I just turned 75. I mean, we've never really from the time I started reading the newspaper as a kid.
Right.
I've known Sid my whole life. I know in the existence of Sid, that's very unusual. And he was, you know, I'm getting a lot of messages about, you know, sorry of your, which is about the passing of your friend. Certainly a colleague. We weren't exactly chums at all times. You know, mm-hmm. we kind of came at it from a different angle. I tried to hold the local teams to a high standard, and with Sid, they were always right. So we kind of lived a little differently.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's kind of one of the things I think that Sid maybe got is that there is, even though I know sports people take their sports very seriously, there is an element of drama and soap opera and all this other stuff that you can't help but notice with sports stories.
Well, it's there, sure. It's always been kind of a fun thing to cover, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can get away with, you know, you can get away. You have a much bigger license to say stuff than you do in other. But Sid, you know, it was serious business for Sid. There's no doubt about it. He helped build new stadiums. He campaigned for new stadiums. He mm-hmm. campaigned to get Major League Baseball here. He was the general manager of the Minneapolis Lakers, basically. It was a different, He grew up in a different era where we were trying to prove ourselves as a major league market. And they were, when St. Paul and Minneapolis were bitter enemies, and they were battling each other all the time. And it's a different era, and that's where he comes from. And that's how he ended up being like the best friend of all the local teams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
That is a different perspective. Mm-hmm. And you talk about it, four generations of people. I remember listening to him on the radio every Saturday morning, too.
Yeah.
And things like that. How many years have you been writing, Patrick, for the Star Tribune? We're just talking with Patrick Ricey.
Well, I started in St. Paul in 68, and then I came to Minneapolis in 88. So mm-hmm. the interesting thing about him is when I worked in St. Paul for 20 years, and then I worked in Minneapolis now for 32, and our relationship never changed. You're still the enemy.
Right.
He wants the story. He wants the attention. He does not want you to. He competed against everybody, including the other sports writers on his own staff.
Yeah.
So
to get the scoop.
And, to get the story.
Yeah. To get the scoop, to get the story, to get the access, to get the accolades, whatever it was he was looking for. He would drive to get it. His son, I talked to Chad last night, we're buddies.
Yeah.
And he said that you know, Chad spent a lot of time in the sports business. He now does general interest talk show, but in sports business. And he declares that his father, even having covered sports, his father is the most competitive person he ever met. And I believe him.
Yeah.
Isn't that something that it doesn't go away with time? I mean, I remember being competitive, but not like... That's amazing, and that's mm-hmm. probably why he lived such a long life and worked so long, and people's drives are so different.
Well, you know, his family was Jewish, Russian Jews, you know, Russian Jewish, yeah. Russian people, and there's that group of Russian, you know, Jewish people down by the Black Sea that routinely live 100 years. They have different genetics, mm-hmm. and I think Sid's one of them. I think that's where he comes from.
Wow.
Because until he fell down and broke his hip and slipped on the ice and broke his hip in 2016, well, he was still running around. He didn't need any aids, you know, to get around. He didn't need a walker or anything.
Yeah.
At 96, he was still doing fine, and then he broke his hip, and that slowed him down a little bit.
Yeah. You know, you said, I read on Twitter last night, Patrick, that you said that 12 years ago you were asked to write Sid Hartman's obituary, and that I've always been fascinated at, you know, notable obituaries and who gets assigned to them. And, you know, like, do you talk to the person about it? Do they know that you're writing it? So I just want you to answer all those questions.
Well, I wrote his book, you know. He's the only sports writer that had to hire somebody else to write his autobiography. So he hired me. So I did that in the mid-90s. I think it was published in 96.
I mean, does the paper ask you to do that? They go, Sid's,
no,
you know.
No, they don't ask you. Okay. They tell you.
Oh, they tell you. Okay, okay.
They tell you. And I'm not sure it was 12. It might have been 10, but okay. it was at least 10 years ago. But they tell me, hey, well, we got advance obits in there on quite a few people.
That's
it's
what I thought.
It's something that you can get out there quickly if it's some fella dies at 11:30 at night or something, you know. And this thing is, I wrote it originally, but it was massaged a few times through the years. We would update it every mm-hmm. once in a while. And then they did a great job updating it today. The office did that, not me.
Oh, but, so good, the story.
The sports desk did that, but... I will tell you that I wrote it, let's say I wrote it in 09, maybe. And about 3 years later, my boss, Glenn Crevier, said, you got to update that. And I said, okay, I'll update it. And then about 3 years after that, he said, okay, you got to update this again. And I did it. And then the last time he told me to update it, I told him to take a long walk off a short pier. I'm not updating that thing again. I just hope that I don't get a byline posthumously, you know, that yeah. I'm that it runs like 8 years from now.
So, oh my gosh. Well,
but those things, I mean, the meat of that thing was like 120 inches telling his story, and then mm-hmm. they topped it and, but the those aren't intended to be like the finished product, but it's copy that they want to have available to tell us somebody's story when they don't have the good taste to die way before deadline. And right. In Sid's case, he did actually. I think the word Chad first tweeted out that he died about noon, I think, mm-hmm. yesterday. So. But he was an interesting cat, man. He was, sometimes you were his buddy and sometimes you were the guy trying to ruin sports. And one of the last times I saw him, he says, "Man, you're writing some great columns." And I said, "Name one." and he looked at me and said, "All of them."
A
good answer would have been if he could have actually named one.
Yeah, I was getting that. I know. We're just giving him the benefit of the doubt, Patrick. We're talking about Sid Hartman passing away, and we're with Patrick Roycey. Okay, so just, is there any hope for these Vikings? We're switching topics really quick.
I am very sad that fans were not allowed in the stadium yesterday to give quarterback Cousins a proper send-off at halftime. That would have been wonderful. It would have been fantastic. It was, he's talk about a guy that thinks Sid's death had perfect timing. That would be Kirk Cousins, right?
Yeah, that took the conversation away from him.
It did.
Yes, think how bad he'd be getting beat up today. Well, we weren't all talking about Sid. I don't know. No, there's no hope for
them. All right, not this year.
I said 2 weeks ago in Seattle, I said, this is the best they got. So you're not, and they got beat. But this is the best they can play. And they got beat. And now we saw, the worst they can play against Atlanta.
It's so painful.
The best they can play is not good enough to beat a good team, and the worst they can play is they're good enough to beat get beat by a bad team.
Right.
The best isn't that good, and the bad is really bad. So.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Well, I'm so glad.
As I always say to people who love the Vikings, they tell me they love the Vikings.
Yeah.
You know what I always say?
Why?
That's because you haven't met them.
Oh. But,
Actually, this crew isn't as bad as they used to be.
You're funny.
They're not quite as grumpy as they used to be.
Well, then Sid has done something good and kind for the Vikings one last time because that whole discussion now can be delayed for a week.
Yep. I got to tell you this story about when Sid broke his hip.
Okay.
The PR guy for the Vikings is Bob Hagen, who's a wonderful guy, and he loves Sid. Because he loved characters, and he loved goofballs, and he'd take Sid to lunch and stuff. And when Sid broke his hip, 2 days later, they got beat 34-6 in the dome, in this new dome, by the Colts, I believe it was. It might have been Baltimore. I can't remember. And got beat 34-6. And 2 days later, Hagen showed up at the hospital and gave Sid one of those souvenir game balls for this rotten performance. And I wasn't there, but I understand Sid had enough energy 4 days after he broke his hip to use some profanities to describe the that Viking performance.
That was a pretty good practical joke. That's pretty funny. Oh, Patrick, thank you for so much for being with us. It's nice to hear your voice.
Give him a silver butter knife steak for coming on the show.
We've got five of
them. I'm glad to know. I know I'm banned from co-hosting, but at least I can still be on as a guest.
You can still be a guest. There you go.
We love you.
Thank you, Patrick
Roycey.
Follow Patrick on Twitter, especially if you do love sports, because he is your guy. Thanks, Roycey. We appreciate it. All right, when we come back, we got some awkward TV we got to talk about. It was perfect.
Okay, cool.
Summing up our feelings. Turn your microphone on, dear.
What are the words of the song?
Julia, we're not going sidetracked on that. Julia, we're not going sidetracked on that conversation with what are the words.
I couldn't even hear what they were saying. I know, na, na, na.
No, na, na. Rocco, Rocco, she's trying to avoid what we were talking about.
And I'm on the other side of the glass, so I don't know what you guys are talking about.
You have no idea. I mean, do you know, it has been, speaking of awkward.
Our mics were on the last commercial break. Hannah.
Oh, they were?
Told us.
Girl. Yeah, I went down to talk to Holly about, I'm sorry I missed your traffic. No, and she's like, get back there. Their mics are
on. No, our mics were on. We were just talking about when Patrick would be on.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was texting him.
Yeah.
So, no, we didn't say anything.
I know. You'd think we would be used to doing this by now. But the one thing is that we've, and I don't even want to say it out loud because then it'll jinx
it. Don't say it.
Yeah. Okay. But speaking, there are two awkward things that have happened. So the first one, it's trending on Twitter, and I won't say, I'll say it's, rhymes with D, and it's called Zoom Rick.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it's everywhere. And so I want to explain what Zoom Rick is.
Do you think we need, wait a second, class? Everybody sit down. I've got the pointer.
How it happened is so...
Who did it happen to?
Okay, Jeffrey Toobin. Okay, he is the guy who wrote The People versus OJ.
Okay.
That book. Then they made a show of it. He's a legal CNN.
Yes, he's got glasses. He's like 50.
He works for The New Yorker, but he has been a prolific author as far as writing about legal cases. So he was in a Zoom meeting probably on content with The New Yorker last week. And like many people, there is Zoom and pandemic fatigue. They are going together and many people have been, party on the bottom and business on the top dressing for their Zoom calls, Julia. Wow. And he forgot to escape his Zoom thing, and he stood up, and he was freewheeling.
He said, here's his quote. He said, I made an embarrassingly stupid mistake believing I was off camera. And they have already said, I apologize to my wife, friends, family, and coworkers. I believed I was not visible on Zoom. I thought no one on the Zoom call could see me.
The better apology would be, I have learned to never, never, never do a Zoom call without my underwear on. And I apologize.
The New Yorker had to suspend him over this.
Julia, because all these people had to see his kibbles and bits. And then some people were traumatized by that.
Oh, dear.
Did he do it on purpose?
Who was he talking to when it happened?
Who sits in a chair without underwear? I mean, there's all kinds of people judging and wondering.
I'll tell you when you sit in a chair without underwear.
It's never a good idea because, first of all, I can't believe he didn't have to kick his leg, which he probably did when he stood up.
No, we had Rocco. We worked with someone who...
No, if you don't wear underwear, you will when you stand up you're a guy... Rocco, just look at me.
Okay.
You will just kind of do this.
You got to flick
little
your
shake.
Leg.
There's yeah, that
little,
makes sense. Yeah.
Or even if, you have
even if you have boxer shorts, there, you know, it might
the
be.
The only time you don't have to do that is if you're packed so tight in your jeans,
you're wearing gentleman thongs.
Yeah, you're wearing, you're doing a nice moose knuckle. Or you got your tidy whiteys on or, tidy navies, whatever color they are or something.
Boxer briefs.
But anything where the warm scrotum can lay flat against your thigh.
This is a deep dive.
Are you uncomfortable?
No, it's true. So when he stood up, who knows how many editorial staff. And so, maybe people were freaking the hell out. They had to do an investigation. All because he was party on the bottom and business on top. Imagine their shock when he stood up and he had a tie on and a jacket, and the shirt is one of those things that's sewn right into the blazer. So it's not even a shirt.
It's like a Dickie blazer.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, it's like as little as possible, right? And then boom, it's on. And then he stands up and then, I mean, can be a horrifying...
Well, I think because when we've done our Zoom, and we don't do it like everybody else, but
right.
The few times we've done it, because sometimes we're Zooming in here and we leave the cameras on, and
Anyway, so, it's embarrassing. I wish he would have consulted with me. I would have had him lead with, I apologize. I cannot believe I got comfortable and would go... Did Zoom meetings on the regular without my underwear.
that's never going to happen. His wife is all over him. Well, honey, I told you.
Yeah, but why is it good to forget that one time? How could you forget that one time? It seems to me it's a habit of his.
So was he completely naked from the waist down?
Yes.
Or?
Okay, wait a minute.
That's why it's called Zoom Rick.
Okay, yeah. Lori, wait.
Zoom Wick. I like that better. Okay. Can we go Zoom Wick? Don't let the womb on fire. Oh,
okay, but wait a minute. Are you saying that he's done this more than once?
No, but I'm just saying, like, he's probably, this has been his thing. You know, he's... Maybe he lounges.
It's a silent protest.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? No one wants to think about anyone now. You know, everyone should be wearing underpants for exactly. I can't believe we didn't learn about Zoom Wick way before now.
Well,
we did get behind.
We've had some toilet.
We've
flushes.
Had toilet. We've had the guys running back naked. Chris Cuomo. Taking a shower. We saw both sides of his buns. I kept wanting him to. I'm like, move, turn. But,
so it is all true. Someone is always watching you. You just don't know where. You're always being watched. If you have these machines.
If you've got a camera on. Mm-hmm. If you accept that Zoom meeting.
Lori wouldn't know how. Julia, what do I do? Julia, come help me.
I'm really going to try and be a Luddite.
No, one of the very first ones was our little Superman son, Christopher Reeve's son, on Good Morning America, when he was doing...
But he had boxer briefs on, and he looked so cute, and he owned up to it right away. I should have had pants on, but none of us have been wearing pants, and pretty soon everyone's joking about it.
Well, maybe he had a rash or something. Anyway, he'd need to air out the good stuff.
That was awkward, and then Tamron Hall had a very awkward interview with Amy Winehouse's dad. Did you watch it this week?
I actually caught the beginning of it.
I was having third and secondhand embarrassment, but then Tamron handled it, but he was so ornery.
He was a pain in the butt. He was a pain in the butt. And I was so excited how she handled it because she's a pro.
Oh, she is. But she really loved him. Like, she talked him up.
I know. She was so excited about the interview. And then it's like when you ask just the wrong thing in the wrong way, it sets people off and they don't give you any grace. And you're thinking, did you not just hear the buildup that I did for you? I mean, he was just...
Oh, my God. He bit her head off. It was like really hard to watch, Rocco, but yet I couldn't turn the channel.
Neither could
I was
she came around and she made it okay, but it was fun having her.
It was
her.
Because of her. He was really a brat. He was a bratty dad, and I don't like to say that about a dad who lost his daughter that way, but he really needs to like hug somebody or
hug a tree. Some love. Remember, that's what you're supposed to do.
Something. He just was so angry.
Okay, with that, we'll be right back. Don't forget to wear your underwear.
Whether it's Baker's Simple Truth Turkey or mac and cheese with Murray's English Cheddar, or pie made with fresh Cosmic Crisp apples, there are many dishes we look forward to sharing during the holidays. And Baker's has all the fresh ingredients you need to turn today's holidays into tomorrow's memories. Baker's, fresh for everyone.
Get more ways to save at the Buy 5 or More Save $1 Each sale. Just buy 5 or more participating items and save $1 each with card. Baker's, fresh for everyone.